This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Here goes nothing. Here we go, Star Wars.
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Jabba that I've got his money.
Song Pichale.
Maratam Tita Makichita.
Jabba wa ninchiko. Babushani Kaitani Wanyaruska. Chaskinyawi Kuchuso.
Yeah, but this time I've got the money.
Erichalia Kulpa Hindi Kuninkusua.
I don't have it with me. Tell Jabba. Even I get bored at sometimes. Do you think I had a choice? Over my dead body. Yes, I bet you have. Sorry about the mess.
None of it means anything.
I kind of thought it was a low-budget film to begin with.
It was just like another job, except you look weird.
I got dressed in the costume. They put bits on it. I thought, cool, this looks good.
There wasn't a lot of certainty as to what it would be.
I had an invite to go for lunch with Alec Guinness, and we used to go and sort of practice the fight together, like kids fighting in the back garden.
And I was like, holy, look at this, what's going on?
How many actors can say that they've got their own action figure?
I said, George, how do you want me to play this? He said, well, play it like they do in the movies.
Took the afternoon off, up to Pinewood Studios, a knock on the door. Then within the week, I got a call to be in Star Wars.
It was just a nightmare. I mean, it just turned into a
Not everything's going to stay in the film.
And I was quite angry and hurt.
I suffered from, like, terrible depression, you know. The only thing that really got me out of this house was really going and doing this convention.
And he said, I'll pay you £300. Well, doing what? He said, signing autographs. I said, are you for real?
There's quite a lot of politicking.
It's all to do with money. They get just kind of jealous that you're taking a piece of their action.
My face was in the movie, you know. Jeremy's got a bucket on his head. What's that about?
Well, that's purely because it's Boba Fett. I can't say any more than that. It's not my fault.
Fans all over the world are generally just brilliant.
Come on, some of them are right off the wall.
The little bit, Mr. Bullock, that you made a slight look. I said, yes, I was waiting for lunch.
You become friends. But I just treat everybody the same.
I really didn't have that driving ambition to succeed. Maybe that's where I've been going wrong.
Star Wars is my main source of income. It's better than waiting for all the age to overtake you.
You don't want to be classified just as an ex-X-Wing pilot.
It's a piece of us, or it's a piece of, you know, what somebody's life is.
And I was in with the helmet on and walking round, and then finally stopping with George Lucas. He said, welcome aboard. It's not a big role, but I think you'll have some fun.
You kind of just go, you know, move on. You know, as the Sand Trooper says, move along.
This is Sonia the Screamer on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream. This is The Force Awakens with Elstree 1976. I'm going to review a small review about a little movie that's trying to show some of the little stories, the smaller stories behind the Star Wars phenomenon, in particular the actual filming and creation of the first Star Wars. When I mean first Star Wars, we are talking about number 4, or A New Hope, released in 1977 on the world, launched on the world from a galaxy far, far away, and things have never been quite the same. The Force Awakens, of course, is out around the world, making some of the biggest impacts as far as gross box office earnings, and it's breaking all the records in such a short time since it opened on the 17th of December 2015. But Elstree is something different altogether. Elstree 1976. What is Elstree? Well, firstly, let's have a look, unpack it, and see it for what it is. It's a studio like those of Pinewood or Shepperton Studios in England, just outside of London, where the film Star Wars: A New Hope was created, as far as the interior stuff, the Millennium Falcon and all those symbolic and wonderful scenes, the cantina scene and so on. And this documentary is doing its best to shine a bit of a light, a background on some of the extras and some of the smaller parts, the tiny parts, but quite significant and interesting parts, very idiosyncratic, of those who participated and filled up and made up what is Star Wars today, what we know of. It's directed by John Spira. He's done films such as Anyone Can Play Guitar. He teaches screenwriting classes. He's worked with John Chapman, who's also played a rebel pilot in the Battle of Yavin, and that was in one of the classes. That conversation led to John Spira, the director of this film, to seek out funding to make the film about people like John Chapman, with his Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaign. And of course, this is the result of that crowdfunder, and it's done okay by me. Now, it's out through Canal Cat Films, Verax Films, the British film company, and it's an interesting little film immortalizing those people who've been turned in to small characters. Some of them are action figures, some of them maybe not. But like I said, this is idiosyncratic. At its very core, we're looking at the fandom that's resulted from these people being small players in such a very important and iconic film, and also just what those effects have had on these players and extras years later. 38 years later, we're still talking about Star Wars. And of course, with number 7, The Force Awakens, being released on the world, we'll be talking, I'm sure, even more. And when it comes to 2017, which will be, of course, the 40th anniversary of Star Wars A New Hope, we can expect everybody, from the clapper boys and girls to, you know, anyone who is dressed as a stormtrooper. You can bet on that. Okay, so Elstree, what is it about? Well, we all know that Star Wars is a phenomenon. It's reshaped cinema forever. And in the humble days of Elstree in northern London, it was 1976, George Lucas started filming there, and he went through a casting company called Central Casting in London. Everybody went through that, including James Bond's Sean Connery and Roger Moore, and extras who ended up in Star Wars. And it's really interesting, we look at it from about 10 people's perspectives. We have people like Paul, we've got John and Garrick, Pam, one of the only women, by the way, that's interviewed in this particular doco. We have Anthony, we have Dave, or David Prowse, very famous for being the physical entity we know as Darth Vader. Derek Lyons, of course, who's really cashed in, pretty much. Not saying that's a bad thing, but he's really taken advantage of his time in the Star Wars verse. And we've got Laurie and John, Angus, all these people that have populated, I guess, the Star Wars universe, from, as again, a small part, with a big part to play. Now, one of the interesting things is some of the cast, or should I say some of these extras, were told that it was nothing more than a TV, made-for-TV film. Star Wars, that is. So that's really cute, interesting, or shows a lack of communication or misunderstandings. And of course, a lot of them say how wonderful it was that they can say they've been immortalized forever in plastic. How many actors can say that they have their own action figure, Pam says. And that is true. So yeah, they were told it was a TV film, nothing wildly exciting. It felt like just an independent little film. And of course, this American was in England, was in London, George Lucas. And he seemed pretty nondescript, not very egotistical, just some bloke with a beard and glasses. And seemed pretty easy to get along with, you know? He had a vision, definitely. But for these guys, at this point in time, they weren't aware of it. Now, of course, we know Dave Prowse, the big physical creature that he is, an ex-Mr. Universe, but gave up on his big bodybuilding ambitions because he was told by a judge, you'll never do any good because his feet were too ugly. Instead, Stanley Kubrick must have seen him once upon a time, and he ended up in A Clockwork Orange, having to carry Malcolm McDowell several times up and down stairs and through corridors. He was pretty shafted, one could say, after carrying Malcolm all day. It's a pretty famous scene and the most violent ever film I've seen, but I love it, A Clockwork Orange. And really, I think Star Wars has done a lot of good for a lot of these people. It's pretty interesting. We have people like James, who played a bodyguard in Norman Jewison's Rollerball for James Caan, I should say. Yes, so in Soho, London Central Casting in the early 70s, that's where all these people sort of ended up and got the job to be in this little film called Star Wars. These people, they were pretty unaware of what Star Wars was going to become, this huge blockbuster. But since 1976, it hasn't stopped for them, really. The great thing was, it's interesting how it has actually helped some of them in many ways to feel confident, to feel like they're part of something greater, and years later, to even make some financial reward for themselves. And you can't blame them. You know, a few hundred pounds here and there at a popular convention for fans, there's no harm in that, I don't think. But yeah, the great thing was, George took a gamble with some of them, and he knew what he wanted. Unfortunately for some, they ended up on the cutting room floor. For others, they ended up in roles where you don't even see their face, i.e. being, of course, a stormtrooper. The average day was about 12 hours, 5 days out of the whole week. And of course, some of the more famous ones, Biggs, for example, the friend on Tatooine for young Luke, the older, mature friend. He has a lot to say about how it's affected his life. People cheer him, people line up in queues for several hours to get his autograph. So it's really interesting. And Jeremy Bullock, of course, is pretty famous as the original Boba Fett that we all know from The Empire Strikes Back. Of course, his voice was later removed and replaced by Temuera Morrison, who plays Boba Fett, who is, of course, the clone divider, I suppose, a clone maker. Greedo, who shot first? Han or Greedo? Very famous from the cantina scene, of course. Well, basically, the actor behind that has, you know, he couldn't believe that it was going to become such a huge event, such a huge thing. But it's had such a big impact on him. He believes he'll put it on his tombstone and it will say, "Here lies Greedo." He loves it. He says it's fantastic. And he also says, quote, "They're going to be stoking my fire for life." His son, by the way, won a silver Olympic medal in the London Olympics in recent years. But when you realise that 25% of the world, the whole world has seen Star Wars, that's over 2 billion people. That's huge. What a huge impact this film that was made for television, well, at least they thought it was, has had on cinema and on popular culture and on everyone. Let's face it, the last few days, the last week or so, wow, they have been a phenomenon themselves. People are coming out of the woodwork of all ages, all sizes, all backgrounds, coming to see, revisiting, making sure Star Wars is back and back into their lives. It's a biggie. It's a biggie. So Elstree, although it's a tiny low-budget minnow of a movie, of course, it's going to probably do really well. With all the franchises being, you know, of course, analysed over and over again, particularly those films, the prequels, and how much people hate them. Maybe one day the extras from that will also have their time in the sun or in the limelight in front of the camera. I'm not sure. But for Elstree 1976, it is an extra bit of canon, an extra bit of fodder, one could say, for the Star Wars fanboy or fangirl. Certainly giving them a chance to have a little bit of an interesting perspective of what brought together and what created this amazing world called Star Wars. So yes, it features, of course, people like Dave Prowse, as I've mentioned, who became Darth Vader, who's now banned from some Star Wars meetings, or should I say Star Wars the big conventions, like Star Wars Celebration, because he signs his photos, apparently this is his opinion, and his, you know, I guess his idea, is that he signs these photographs as Dave Prowse is Darth Vader. And of course, James Earl Jones is the voice of Darth Vader. Well, anyway, he's fallen out with George. Who knows? Hopefully things will be patched up by 2017 for the 40th anniversary. Cross fingers. Who else is in it? Derek Lyons, who plays a Massassi Temple guard. And he also is the holder of the medals in the throne room at the end of the film of Star Wars. Pam Rose is Lee Subsulin, who's in the cantina. An amazing piece of makeup with her. And that's just some of the people that are in there. Derek Lyons, Paul Blake, John Chapman. Yes, it's a really interesting little film. Tiny film, crowdfunded, but I'm sure this documentary will be used in many an academic study of what makes Star Wars the first film and how it still has such an impact and effect on people that were involved in it. What it means is a touchstone culturally and for fans everywhere. I think they'd just love to know, you know, what some of these guys thought of being cut and being on the cutting floor, like the Fixer, for example. Whole scenes disappear with that particular actor. But oh well, look, it's on YouTube apparently, and he gets a lot of cult following just from that, including some of the scenes with Biggs. There's not as many in the original released film of Star Wars than there was when it was actually filmed by Lucas. But that's all artistic license, and we know George Lucas likes a lot of artistic license. Alright, so if you like Star Wars, I think you'll like Elm Street 1976. It'll give you a more fully whole picture and a poignant perspective. Like, it does move me. It does make me a little goosebumpy. It's a simple story about people, their collaboration. It was a job. And one of those jobs that turned out to be absolutely magical. Really magical. So anyway, apart from all the occasional disagreements and bickering about who should be going to pop conventions as a Star Wars character and who shouldn't be, and maybe there are a few people that it's more fantasy than reality, whatever that might be, for a Star Wars fan like myself, I found this really entertaining and engaging, and I chuckled along with the rest. It is out now on DVD through Transmission Films in Australia. It's been available since December 15, so if you get a chance to go along, hit yourself up there on the online verse and check it out with Transmission Films. The director is John Spira, producers are Hank Stars and Steve Milne, cinematography is by Sunny Malhotra, editors are Krasida Koshensky, John Spira himself and John Twycross, and the music's quite lovely by Jamie Hyatt, and it runs for 101 minutes. Through Canal Cat Films, as I mentioned, Verex Films and the British Film Works, and the Works, I should say, British Film Company. Multi-layered, very interesting. That was no pun, by the way, multi-layered, I mean. But yeah, look, enjoy. You can head to their Facebook, Elstree 1976, to find out more and find out who's behind the masks, behind the helmets, big people and small roles. I recommend this documentary, out now through Transmission Films. It is called Elm Street 1976, and that's not Pinewood Studios or Shepparton, by the way, but where the Millennium Falcon was actually born. So Elm Street 1976, very different take on the Star Wars verse, and fans should be able to love it. Out of 5, I've given this a 3. So may the Force be with you, and enjoy Elm Street 1976. This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream, just a little review. Behind the helmets, the Boba Fett, the Stormtrooper, looking at another side of Star Wars. You're on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.